Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
Well, it is great to be here this morning. I'm really excited to get to share today. And Todd does tell me, you can speak more than once a year, but I'm very grateful for that. He's very, very kind about that. I do most of my speaking one-on-one and to people shorter than me. But it is a great privilege to be here today. And I just want you to look around just a second. You know how blessed we are in this church? I love our church. I love the diversity, the age differences, the color differences, the background differences. I think it looks a little bit like heaven's going to be, don't you think? Yes, and so I love it. Last night we got to celebrate with Don and Natalie and Ken with their graduation. Natalie graduated and Ken graduated, and so we got a little bit of African worship going on, and so I was like, oh yes, this is awesome. I'm going to be when we're up in heaven, I'm going to be hanging out right with them. So I kind of try to blend in a little bit. So anyway, I'm really excited. If you don't know, we have three kids, and Chase is right here. I know some of you may not know Rave. Fast. Okay. Kaylee is, Chase is going to be 15 in June, and Kaylee is 11. She's really tall, but she's 11. She's almost 12, and she's in kids' church. And then Shaylee was playing piano today. She's usually playing guitar when she's up here, but and she's 17, and I could not bring myself to say that she's almost that next age. So we're just going to say she's 17. So my dad recently told me that these are the best years, and I was like, that's really interesting how he would say that, but he said that our teenage years were great years for him as a dad, and I thought that was really, really neat. Sometimes you hear the opposite, right? And so it is true that they love the Lord, and we do have a lot of strong wills in our household. And they love each other most of the time, right? But I'm really thankful for them. I'm also thankful for Todd. He's my rock and my encourager and my love, and I'm just really thankful for him. I'm also thankful for my mom and my grandmas and those that went before me and began the legacy. My grandma, my mom's mom, started the legacy in her family. They had a religious background, but not really a relationship background. And so when she got on fire for the Lord, she was determined that her kids were going to know the Lord too. And so even though her husband was away from God during most of those years that they were growing up, she would say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, over and over again. She would stand up. It was back in the days when we had testimony services, and she would stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. She made that declaration, and it is true that she had four kids that all served the Lord and were in ministry. Then they had kids that served the Lord, and many are in ministry. We have three of those grandkids that are on the mission field. Several of us are in ministry here. And now great-grandkids that want to be missionaries or ministers. And I don't say that to pat anybody on the back, but I do say this to say, some of you are starting a legacy for your family. And you have hope. You can be that one that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you can drag those kids to church, sometimes kicking and screaming. My grandma was usually, they were usually late to church, you know, I just don't get that. Just kidding. Sorry, I have a little bit of that in me. But the thing was, she always made sure that her husband had his food before she left, and then she would take her kids. They'd get late to church, but they were going to be there. And so just be encouraged this morning. If you're one that's starting that legacy for your kids, it is worth it, and they will be rising up and calling you blessed someday. And if you don't have biological kids, let me tell you, there are people that you can pour into that will say the same for you. You can be that spiritual mother or a spiritual dad to them, or big brother, big sister. So one thing about my mom is she is very directionally not challenged. She has a great sense of direction. She lived on the farm. She lived 40 miles from Lubbock. She knows north, south, east, and west. And I did not inherit that trait one bit at all. If the sun is rising or setting, I can tell you the east or the west. That is the only time, because I forget in between. So I'm just wondering if anybody relates to me that you are very directionally challenged. Do you get lost? I see fingers being pointed. Okay. So some of you are directionally challenged. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you have a pretty good sense of direction? Okay, awesome. So would y'all point to the north? Oh, I'm seeing different directions. Okay, hang on a second. I did check this yesterday. Okay. Okay, I think it's that way, right? Is that what it's supposed to be? Okay. Okay, so since we know that's north, then that means that's south, west, and east. Okay, never eat shredded wheat or something like that. Okay, how about left and right? Do that little, okay. Yeah, for you, that's left. Okay. Yeah, guns up. No, sorry. left and right. Okay, if that didn't work for you and you'd still, how about up? Can you do, okay, and down. All right, that's some of us. Okay, we can, like, up and down. Hey, we got our directions now. So there is, I don't know if you can show the cartoon. I may have gotten my slides a little bit. Maybe you kind of relate to the one. It's the cartoon with the, yeah. Okay, when you get to Main Street, head north. North? Okay, toward the pizza place. Oh, no, north. So left? No, go north. You have no idea which direction north is, do you? North, south, these words mean nothing to me, nothing. That's exactly me. When my mom would give me directions, she would say, go west on, I'm not even going to say because I'll probably mess it up, whatever it was, Quaker or whatever. And I'm like, Mom, left or right? But she didn't know which direction I was looking at. So I'm like, okay, I'm facing this. And so she'd have to tell me, which direction. But even greater, my mom had a great sense of direction spiritually. She is great at giving direction in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. I want to do that, pass that down to my kids too. So you may know that I'm a teacher. I teach fourth grade, and I absolutely love it. I always have a story. I just love teaching fourth grade. So last week, here we are at a shower for Cheyenne, and Cassandra says, you just spoke that whole thing in your teacher voice. And so I apologize if I use my teacher voice. It just comes out. It just, that's just the way it is. So in keeping with that, we're going to have a memory verse today, okay? We're going to have a memory verse. Now, the purpose of a memory verse is that we want to get it into our hearts. The Bible says David said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I'm going to ask everybody that can to stand up, and we're going to do this fourth grade style, okay? And we have fun with our memory verses, but it gets in our hearts, okay? All right, so our memory verse is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Some of you may know this one. So we're going to use a little bit of motions, okay? Because some of us might be like visual people. Any visual people that you like kind of need to see it to be able to remember it? Okay. All right. So repeat after me, and I'll try to do the directions if I can remember. Okay. All right. Trust in the Lord. Oh, let's say it a little louder. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart. Okay, you got to lean. And do not lean. Oh, I'm sorry. And lean not. Whoops. Lean not on your own understanding. Okay, let's do that part again. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Okay. Now this part. In all your ways. Submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. All right. Okay, you can sit back down. Okay, now, I really like that last part because I get lost a lot. And I apparently like to take the long way around everything, okay? So you're going to see in just a second a map of what I did one time, but I like the path to be straight. I mean, just tell me from here to here. If you give me more than three directions, I'm done. So I can say, like, go this way, then go this way, then go this way. If you give me a fourth direction, I don't know why, but I can't remember it. That's when I just get, like, lost, very lost. So Tanya, our children's leader on Sunday mornings, learned this the hard way, that I don't have a good sense of direction. We were going to camp. It was her first time to go with us on a road trip. We had two vehicles, so the bus was ahead, and we had all the luggage. We kind of got separated from everybody. But no big deal. I mean, I've been to camp a bazillion times. I know my way. So we're in Snyder. We stop for our picnic, get separated. I'm like, that's okay. This is the road. So, all right. And then I navigate, and then I go to sleep. Well, when I wake up, we're in Post. And if you know your directions, Post is not the right way. And so I was like, oh, no, we're in Post. And she's like, I got on the road you told me to get on. I was like, okay, we can still get there. That's all right. And so if you want to show, yeah, well, okay, I had the actual map that it was supposed to do. That's what I did. So we took the long way, and we did eventually get there. But she learned that to double check, don't trust me if I try to give directions for sure. Well, so you're going to hear some stories. When I was 17, and if you know Lubbock very well, it has a loop that goes around the city. Well, my parents were out of town, and I had a nosebleed, and so the lady that was staying with me gave me directions to her church, so I was going to have to drive by myself. So, but I was 17. I had been living in Lubbock most of my life. And she's like, okay, you know how the loop goes around the city? And I was like, I didn't say this out loud, but I thought, no, I didn't, but now I do. Okay. And so she gave me the directions. Well, I learned that morning that the loop did indeed go all the way around the city, and I learned how long it took to get all the way around the city. I never found my spot, never got to the church that morning. I just wasted a whole lot of tears, but anyway, usually what I did in Lubbock whenever I would get lost is I would just ask somebody where the mall was, because I did not want them to think that I was from there and was lost. So I would just say, could you tell me where the mall is? But it didn't work when it'd be like Sunday night at 8 o'clock, you know, and I'm like, could you tell me where the mall area is? I just need to go somewhere it's the mall area. That's true. Pretty embarrassing, but now we go to the farm. Todd will talk about us going to the farm a lot. And so you would think after 14 years of going to the farm that I would not ever get lost, but I have to get directions every single time we go. And so 5 years we've lived here, and I mean, you probably couldn't even count how many times I've called and said, Todd, could you give me directions? I can't find the address. And so he finally sent me a drop pin, and I finally saved it to my favorites. And so now I don't have to ask him anymore. But I have to use my GPS every single time. My daughter, Shaylee, can get her way around, but I don't know. I just get confused. And maybe I start talking or doing something, just forgetting. The first 6 months that we lived here, I had to use my GPS to get from our house to Walmart. And I finally studied the map, and I was like, oh, that's easy. I don't know. Now I feel really silly that I had to do that, but I just would get turned around. And so now I even get lost in hotels. When we went to the Pink Impact thing and we come out of the hotel room and I start going the other direction and they're like, this way. I'm like, oh, yeah. I just get turned around. And the worst was one time we were at this conference and I go to the room and I'm trying to get in. The key won't work. And I'm like, what do I do? And so I finally asked this guy that was working. I was like, my key's not working. And he's like, well, what room are you in? And I'm like, well, I thought this one. I couldn't remember the number. And then he calls downstairs. He's like, yeah, there's this lady up here. She don't know what room she's in. I was like, oh my goodness, that sounded a whole lot worse. So since then, I try to write down the number and, you know, try to not act, look so silly. But the worst I ever got lost was when I lived in El Salvador. And actually, at Don and Natalie's last night, we met a guy from El Salvador, so it was kind of cool. I was telling him about my getting lost, it was a big city. You'll have to, I don't know if we have a picture of San Salvador. It's a city of like 2 million people, okay? No big deal, right? We didn't have cell phones or GPS, but we were about to go. I was about to leave to go out. I would travel around the country with one of the lady evangelists. We would go from place to place, and so kind of training the young people, and we would do street ministry and all that kind of stuff. So we were about to go, and I was like, hey, I'm just going to run to the corner and get some gas, and I'll be right back. 2 hours later, I got so lost. I was lost in San Salvador. I have no idea where I ended up. And so I finally found a police officer, and I said, can you just point me to this monument called Salvador del Mundo, which means the Savior of the World? It's like this huge thing. There's this big roundabout. And I knew if I could just get there, I could find my way to places that I knew. And so he helped me get to that place. I finally got back to the people who was wondering where I had been for the last 2 hours. And I was like, our leader was like, where have you been? And then he saw that I had been bawling my eyes out. I was scared to death. He's like, don't ever go anywhere again by yourself. I was like, yes, sir, no problem. I will not. Or I'll bring a map. I mean, I was just, it was like literally in view, in sight. I mean, so I have come to terms with this part of my life that we can't be good at everything, right? No. You know, it's just, I don't know. I wasted a lot of tears, and I have tried to get better at this. But you know what? I'm just glad that now we have Siri. We can ask. Aren't y'all glad? I'm so glad. Now, there are some things that she doesn't tell me, and it really irritates me. But just recently, it was in February, my sister and her family came in they live overseas. And we go to the airport in Lubbock, and, you know, just that thought of, like, I'm a little confused as I'm about, so I grab my phone, and I'm like, no, which is the fastest way to get there? I was trying to be smooth, you know. You know, there are new streets, there are new roads, and she's like, she just kind of shook her head and said, put your phone down, sis, I can help you get there. I was like, oh, my goodness, from the airport to my parents' house. I was unsure enough because I've gotten lost so many times. But recently, the Lord just began to show me a connection between my literal lostness and our spiritual lack of direction. And so we're going to read a story this morning, and if you want to go ahead and turn to it, or if you just want to follow along on the screen, it's in John chapter 4, and this is a lady who was directionally challenged. So see, there are people in the Bible just like me. Just like us. Isn't that awesome? Todd has preached about this story before. And this lady is known as the woman at the well. She wasn't exactly asking for directions this day, but she was given directions by the Lord. Jesus stopped and gave her directions. So let's pray before we read this. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. And I thank you for these beautiful people here. I thank you that we've come here together to learn more about you, to grow more in you. Lord, I pray that even those that may have come just to support their mom or someone else, they just they don't even know why they're here maybe, but I just pray that today would just be a life changer for them. And we just thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak to us through it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so in John chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 4. And it's kind of a long passage, but it's a great story. He, who was Jesus, had to go through Samaria on the way. eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman says, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her? Why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. We're going to skip down to verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but just because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." I would say that she was pretty lost in life. She apparently had a little bit of a religious background, but because she knew about the Messiah, she knew he was supposed to be coming, but she had gotten off track somewhere. I think if we compare it to my realities, that she had no sense of direction. She had had 5 husbands before. She had been married 5 times, and she was living with a man she wasn't married to. Jesus saw past the stereotype and past the cultural divide, past the stigma of not saying anything, just not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings, and he gave her direction. And he saw that this was a woman who needed direction. He saw that she was searching to fill something in her life, just thinking that she could fill it with a man. And and just other things of the world. But he knew that he had exactly what she needed. She was so, so lost. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So technically, we've all been lost, right? But I want to know just how many of you, this isn't just a rhetorical question, but how many of you have ever felt very lost? In not just physically, but spiritually, you've felt very lost. Okay, so I want you to, would you raise your hands just again, real quickly? The reason I say this, I want you to look around, because I want you that maybe have not been here very long, I want you to look around and realize that you are in a great place, because there are people around you that have also felt lost, and that they needed someone to give them direction, and they're here to help you get direction too. We don't have to stay lost anymore. We've all been in that situation. You know, we may have had a different set of circumstances, but maybe not just like this woman, but we have all been lost. Well, this woman needed some direction, so Jesus spoke truth. He gave her some direction, and it was pretty bold. There were some really bold statements that Jesus made. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it's like, ooh, I don't know if I want to say anything. You know, it's hard. And just to think that Jesus spoke that truth to her, that they were, that she wasn't living right. And, you know, I was just thinking that it was kind of interesting how her conversation goes. As soon as he says this, she's like trying to say about her religious background, like, oh, you must be a prophet. Oh, our ancestors worshipped. And so she's kind of giving her church background, like, oh, yeah, I know of this stuff. Yeah, I know the Messiah is going to come. And what about this worship stuff? Like, where are we supposed to worship, kind of thing? And kind of maybe distracting of the truth of what was happening right here. Kind of the small talk. But Jesus kind of went along with the small talk until she realized who she was face to face with. She was face to face with the Savior of the world, the Messiah. There are some things that we don't know in the scripture exactly how it happens, but when he said, in other translations, said, I am he. It's like, I'm the one you've been looking for. You've been looking everywhere else, but look, I am he. I'm the Messiah. Messiah means the Savior, the one that's the one that they had been looking for and longing for. I am he. This directionally challenged lady suddenly had directions. No more excuses, no more justifying what she was doing. Her life had just been changed. Do you remember that moment when your life was changed? Man, it's like a drastic thing, a drastic change. So instantly, right after, I mean, she has just had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. I mean, it's like, whoa, this is him. This is the one. This is the Messiah. And what does she do? She came to get water. She leaves her water bucket and runs. That is quite a lady. I don't usually run. But she ran. She ran back to the village. And she started telling everybody. So this lady who kind of didn't have a great reputation, I mean, she hadn't even gone to church yet, right? I don't think. She definitely hadn't gone to Bible school yet. She probably didn't have all the answers. She didn't have it all figured out yet. But she ran and started telling them that the Messiah, I think this is him. I think this is the Messiah we've been talking about. Come see him. So she started giving directions. This lady who had no sense of direction now starts giving directions. She's telling people where to find the Savior of the world, where to find this living water. And the thing is, you know, we've all, or many of us, maybe not all of us yet, maybe some of you are going to have that encounter soon, but many of us have had that similar encounter. We've had that life-changing moment when Jesus came into our lives. Maybe we're running like crazy. Maybe they don't realize that we're running like crazy, but we are going after people. We're going to try to tell people about Jesus. We're trying to give them direction. And a lot of you are. A lot of you are that are here today are the result of that. People that have invited you to church, invited you to come to know Jesus. But sometimes there are some things that hold us back. Sometimes we may be afraid. What are we going to say? What will they think? I don't want to offend them. In our culture, we're so used to everybody being offended over everything. We're afraid to say anything. But you know what? You have a partner. When you start talking to somebody about the Lord, you have a partner called the Holy Spirit. He is with you, and he starts working things that you can never imagine are happening. It's just amazing to see that. Just yesterday, I believe that this may have happened. There was a sweet lady. I felt like we could just be friends already. You know, we were in a very long line at Ulta yesterday. And, you know, small talk kind of went to deeper talk. And I found out that she had grown up in a very oppressive religious background. And, you know, it just kind of made me sad. And I told her, I said, you know, we're not that way. And she said, I can tell. And I thought, wow, we haven't, you know, I mean, how could she tell? I'm pretty sure it's the Holy Spirit. Because our words don't mean a lot. But when the Holy Spirit begins to do that work in a person's heart, I mean, that's really what it's all about. I believe that the Holy Spirit will join with us and to make that impact. When Jesus encounters a person, their lives are never the same again. And in just a minute, Chase, and some of y'all are going to come sing a song. Would y'all get ready for that, Chase? As I was getting ready for this, I was just thinking about times in my life when I was directionally challenged. If we're honest, we probably all remember those times. And as a kid, I remember it might have been a friendship that was pulling me in the wrong direction. And my parents were the ones that would say, hey, I remember at 13, my dad saying, absolutely not. You are not dating him. I couldn't date, but, you know, and it was nicely, but he was just like, no. or just maybe being pulled in the wrong direction. And I want to encourage you parents that your kids really are listening. You may not think that they are. There were times that whether it was a big decision I was making or maybe I was in a wrong relationship, I was just maybe getting off track. And I just remember some very crucial moments. I remember a time my dad saying just something pretty sternly about a relationship I was in. And I just blew, I acted like that I just blew that off. He was wrong. Yeah, he didn't know. But God took those words, and it went over and over in my heart, in my head, and I did get out. And it was because my dad spoke those words to me. I also had a mentor, and I can say I have a mentor, because even though we don't see each other very often, she has she was there for me through a lot of things, and that was Kathy Suttle. That's Vicky's sister. And I remember her asking me, like, straight in the face, what are you doing? And, okay, that's pretty stern, right? But, you know, we had the relationship, and I knew she loved me, that she could say, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And then I was like, a little bit later, I come back and say, okay, everything's not fine. Okay. And then we talked about it. And she helped me have some direction. You know how rare that is? That is rare. Because here I am, I grew up in church. There weren't just a whole lot of people that I could say that said that to me, that would speak like that to me. I mean, I was a minister's daughter. You know, sometimes when we're in church, we think everybody's got it together now, right? Okay, but we don't. We don't have it all together. We still need people to help guide us. You know, whenever we were at the hotel with the ladies and I was walking out the wrong way, they're like, this way. And I'm like, oh, yes, that way. Okay. You know, when you're standing next to somebody, they're not just going to let you go off of a cliff. They're not going to just be like, okay, yeah, whatever. It's your life. No. When we're family, which is what we are here, we're going to be like, oh, no. No, come here. Got to come over here. when we have these opportunities, you know, maybe you haven't had an opportunity to really get to know people here and you haven't found that family, I want to encourage you a couple of things. And I grabbed my bulletin to make sure. Now, there are things for the men too, but I want to point out this Tuesday night, we're going to go to Rosa's. Ladies, we're going to Rosa's at 6:30. You can come and join us. We'll have a little Bible study, but a lot of it's going to be just getting to know people. So that's a good opportunity for you to just come, get to know somebody. Then whenever you're directionally challenged, who are you going to call? You're going to call one of those ladies that you started to get to know and share Taco Tuesday with, right? Elena, would you raise your hand? Elena is an awesome example of this. Women of God. Sorry, I had to find the name of it. It's called Women of God. They're going to meet at 6 o'clock on May 16th. This is for single or divorced or widow ladies. I'm sure if there's somebody else that you could probably come to. But her heart is just to have someone to fellowship with and to be that person to, hey, let's come over here. Let's do this, okay? Kind of guide each other. You become friends. You know, we can find a lot of people to give us advice in the world. Isn't that right? I mean, you can just go dump and just say, you won't believe what my husband did today. And they'll be like, well, won't you drop him like a hotcake? You know, get out of that. You know, aren't there enough people like that? But what we need is we need brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to step up and say, what are you doing? Right? Okay, you may not say, I don't say it like that. That's Kathy Settle's personality, and that's okay. But we can say, true story here, hey, you know, just because your husband upset, you don't just dump all his stuff out on the lawn. You know, you're a Christian now, and you're following Jesus, and God's working in him. Look how far you've come. Look how far you've come. Or one friend, oh, I love this. A lady at Christian Life, I told her I was going to tell her story, but my sister-in-law actually met her at Burlington Coat Factory, and she's like, I just need me some Jesus or something, and she's like, well, do you have a church? And so she invites her to church, and she starts coming. Her husband wasn't saved at the time, and then eventually he got saved, and God started working in them. And then I remember her getting really mad at him because, sorry if she hears this, no, I did warn her. She got really mad at him because he wanted to take a picture with his mother and have their family picture. And she's like, what? Well, you didn't take a picture when I wanted a picture with my mom. And I said, hey, wasn't that before he came to know Christ? And she's like, yeah, it was. And, you know, I mean, I know that sounds like a silly thing, but how did we have that conversation? It's because we were sitting next to each other and we were just talking about life and those things came up. And she's now the women's director at Christian Life. God has done such a work in her life. And I believe that a lot of those friendships that kind of helped, hey, this way, when she's kind of going that way, you know, we need that direction in our lives. As I was getting ready for this, and actually kind of what really hit me was we were at this ladies' retreat, and I just felt like the Lord just started speaking to me like so much. And honestly, I was really convicted because I thought, how many times have I been afraid to speak out, to speak up, because I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. You know, I mean, I'll tell my sister or my brother or somebody that I'm really close to, I'll say, hey, okay, be careful here. Watch out here, because this is, you know, like, this is kind of hard. I had some great talks with friends that are about to get married, and like, okay, let's talk about this. This is going to be hard, you know. let's just talk about life, you know. But that's because we had that relationship. But I just started thinking about so many people that come through our doors that maybe have nobody to ask. Nobody to ask those hard questions, those that are kind of embarrassing questions. I don't know if you've ever been like me, but I remember times that I really needed somebody to ask some questions to, but I was afraid. I was afraid they would judge me. I was afraid they would think that I was dumb. How did I not know the answer to that question? And so this morning, as we go into our prayer time, we have some compasses. And I really wanted to symbolize something today, that for one thing, there is always a way to get direction. We can get direction through the Word of God. We can get direction here because we're using the Word of God. We can get direction through people, but we still line it up with the Word of God. But we can also be that person who hands out these compasses, who speaks truth into somebody's life and says, hey, don't go that way. Hey, if you do that, I see danger ahead. Why don't you come this way, okay? We need to recalculating. make a U-turn. I just have to say this. Siri, the only thing that she does not do is tell me which way to go out of the parking lot. I'm like, okay, I'm right here. I need to know, do I go right or left? So usually I'm like, I'll just have to take a guess. So I'll take a guess, and then it'll say, make a U-turn. I'm like, okay. So, but you know what? As children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes we need to be that GPS that says, hey, make a U-turn. It's maybe recalculating. But you know what? I was also encouraged about this, thinking about, you know, when we lose our way, when we get lost, did you know that if we have set that destination on our GPS, that it is still going to get us to our destination? If we took a wrong turn, okay, we got off the road too soon, and then we realize, oh no, I made a wrong turn. I messed up. And what it's going to do is going to reroute us, and it's going to still take us back to that destination. But here's what we've got to do. We've got to set our destination. We can't just be driving around going cruising like we did in high school, or some of y'all did in high school, and not going anywhere, just going on a road trip, don't even know where you're going, right? But we have to set that destination, and that destination is Jesus. It's heaven. See, Jesus came. I want you to show that picture of the Salvador del Mundo again, and from El Salvador. That was the place in the city that everybody knew. It was like the kind of the landmark, and I knew if I could get there, that I could get back home. And it just hit me in reading this passage, this Bible passage, that she was pointing people to the Savior of the world. They even said, "You have helped us find the Savior of the world, and now we have direction." And so whenever we come to know Jesus Christ, he becomes our Savior. You know what he does? He takes away our shame. He takes away our sin. We don't have to live in that darkness anymore. He paid for our sins when he died on the cross. And he came to have an encounter with you. And some of you this morning, you may think that you just came to get some water. Maybe you just came to get some donuts and coffee. Maybe you came because somebody invited you because it was Mother's Day. Or maybe you come all the time, but today may be your divine encounter. That encounter when Jesus comes face to face with you and says, I can give you living water that will make you never thirst again. That you don't have to go searching through addiction to fill that void. You don't have to fill your life with all the other things of this world, but you can be filled now with Jesus. And this morning I also want to speak to those that maybe you've been in this a little while, but maybe you have some questions and you kind of need some direction in some things, but you haven't really found a person that you can sit down and ask that question. I was so excited this week when I got a text from a friend here saying, can we have lunch? I just want to talk. Sorry, I don't want to embarrass you. But I was like, yes, that's it. When we just have somebody that hey, we've talked enough at church to know, hey, they're a friend. So I'm asking some of you also to be that friend. To don't worry like the woman at the well. Don't think, but I've already done so many bad things. I could never speak to somebody else about Jesus. You can, because he's changed your life. And now you're that new creation that you're going to start sharing with other people. So right now, I want you to stand with us. And first of all, I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. If this morning that we're here and there's just something that's going on inside of your heart and you have this realization that you are lost, and maybe you really just don't have direction in your life. You need some direction in your life. Maybe you have not come to know Jesus or submitted your life to him. But this morning you know that you're done with being lost and you're ready to find direction and to just give your life to Christ. Would you just raise your hand if that's you this morning? Yes. Thank you. Yes. Is there anyone else that you've come this morning and you know you're lacking direction? You need direction in your life. You're away from God, but you know that today's your day to make things right with God. Yes, thank you. So this morning, what I'm going to ask, also, here's the second thing I want to ask, is if you're here and you've submitted your life to Christ, but man, you have a lot of questions, and you just kind of need some direction. Would you just raise your hand if that's you? Just kind of, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can put your hands down. How many of you have maybe been afraid to be that friend that gives direction, but you're ready to say, okay, I'm ready to give direction now? Would you just raise your hand if that's you? All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to come up here. If you raised your hand for any of those things, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And those of you that are willing to give direction, Fabian has some compasses that he's going to give you. And I want you to hand these out. We have some that raised their hand for salvation. Would you go ahead and come forward? And Chase is going to sing a song in just a second as we come. But if you'll just come forward, we're going to have prayer for you, and we believe that this is the day that's going to change your life, that Jesus has come face to face with you. So go ahead and come forward. And those of you that are ready to share with others, I'm going to partner y'all up so you can pray with our friends.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.